COVID shortened three-game slate, but a good one between the Nets and the Sixers. Plus, power rankings. Who are the biggest winners of 2021? It's a Friday Locked On NBA. Let's go.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there and happy Friday. Welcome back to the Locked On NBA podcast. Thank you for making Locked On NBA your first listen every day. It's free, available everywhere podcasts exist. And on YouTube, where you'll see I am John Corrales, not your usual Friday host, a hardship signing here on the Friday. Adam Mares, trying to get my 10 days in here. Adam, how you doing?
Oh, man, you're on the hardship. I can't believe it. Everybody here. I'm doing good, though.
You know, I'm on Friday. Next thing you know, I'll be showing up on the Wednesday podcast on Monday, and people will be like, aren't you like James Ennis? Like, didn't you just play for the other team like two days ago?
Outside Isaiah Thomas, he went from Lakers to Mavericks. I know he entered the health and safety protocol, so he's actually So is there anybody else that has done this? The 10 day for two different teams?
Yeah, James Ennis just did it for. He's on the Clippers. He went Brooklyn to the Clippers, or was Sixers to the Clippers. There's one other guy, I forget who it was.
Okay. But
there's definitely been a few that now we're going to start seeing it. The 10 days are starting to expire. And
this is crazy.
So as teams get their guys back, and as like the next set of teams gets their rolling outages, those guys are going to start showing up in these other teams. Like you just got the playbook for one team and then you're going to use it against. It's like revenge game within a week.
Do you think anybody will play for a third team this year? We got a couple with two. Do you think will get a third one?
Oh, yeah. Isaiah might play for five.
Yeah.
I think it's too bad that he's back and he's in health and safety, man. That sucks. Yeah. But who knows? Look, there are teams out there that haven't been really impacted. So there might be like a wave of those teams that get it. So I don't know. I think there will definitely be some guys. With three. All right. We got three games. Four was supposed to be four. Golden State and Denver was postponed due to COVID. We'll talk about that in a minute. In the second segment, we'll get into Milwaukee, Orlando, Cleveland, Washington. And in the third segment, our power rankings, which is the Friday staple, top five winners of 2021. But Adam, let's get into the game of the night, really. Philly and Brooklyn. This was a good one. It was on NBA TV. This was the saving grace of a very short night here. Philadelphia 110-102. A lot of people are going to be talking about Joel Embiid with a dominant performance, 34.6 rebounds. Yeah. But I think the game turned. I think Georges Niang and Tyrese Maxey are the stories of this game.
They are, and in large part because, like you said, there's a lot of star power in this game. Kevin Durant was awesome. You know, you expect that from him. James Harden had a very nice night, 33-point triple-double. But it is the who else was going to step up and kind of tilt it, and especially down the stretch. Tyrese Maxey, 25.7 rebounds, 4 assists, including some big-time shots, especially the corner three that kind of – it wasn't officially what iced it, but it was one of those shots that put him in the lead for good. A revelation. I mean, we're late to the game, right? He's been a revelation for a while now, but he is the guy that when I look at, we're at the point in the season where we start to talk about, are these true contenders? Are they not? Are they missing a piece? Are they this or that? I think the 76ers are missing a piece that hopefully they look to fill with whatever they do with Ben Simmons, with whatever trade they get.
Right.
But Maxey is a guy that through this adversity, through these circumstances, has elevated up to me to be that next guy where you think, okay, he's a guy that might win you a series, even when you're going against a Kevin Durant, a James Harden, stars, if they can cancel each other out, Maxey might be the best other out there that tilts a big time series in their favor.
He's certainly capable of it. The 5 3-pointers that he hit in this one were a career high. Five. And he's got, 5 of 8 from three. The kid's got stones, man. The kid's got stones. Yeah. He's out there. He's not afraid to take these shots. And it's kind of funny because I actually saw him. I went to Kentucky on a bourbon trail tour. And I'm like, let me just swing by a Wildcats game. And I saw his absolute worst game in college. It was his absolute worst game. And I'm like, the meme, like, this is your king. Like,
right. That's the guy.
This is the guy. All right, if you say so. But, you know, there are a bunch of guys who are in college that, you know, up and down or whatever, these Kentucky guys, they have a tendency to come out and ball out a little bit more in the NBA for some reason. And then here he is, like they get him late in the draft, and he, you're right, he could be a guy that once this is all settled out, they have obviously Embiid. If he can stay healthy, he tweaked an ankle in this game. Right. He can be obviously dominant. They have Niang, who's a really good role player, comes in. Look, it was 78-71 Nets in the third quarter. Right. And I'm thinking here, like, the Sixers, Embiid had a huge block on James Harden. They got a dunk on the other end. Then KD comes down, boom, boom, 2 3-pointers at 78-71. I'm like, oh, whatever. This is going to go exactly how I think how I thought it was going to go. Then Yang comes down and hits a couple of threes, and you're like, oh, whoa, wait a second. So he's a good guy to have off the bench. They need to figure out the Ben Simmons thing. And
right.
This is the topic we all talk about this, right? Like, Daryl Morey, the pressure is on him to do something, because after a game like this, we're like, hey, we're wrapping up this year on a real high note. You've got pieces. You've got a dominant player. Can we get something? Can we do something to make this run now?
Because I'm gonna disagree with you here, John, in one way, because I agree that something has to get done. But I think this is – Daryl Morey is very patient. He's very good with these types of things. And I think he knew – I don't think he expected the season – nobody expected the season to go the way that it has with all these 10 days and everything else. But I actually think the pressure is being alleviated a little bit, in that you look around at the teams that now are looking and saying, we need a Ben Simmons. I think it is more teams now than it was, say, 3, 4, 5, 6 months ago, in large part because this is a disaster of a season. So many teams – you look at a Portland, you look at – a Denver, I don't think a deal's there, but I'm just listening to a Dallas, a Minnesota, a Sacramento. You look at all these teams, nobody's out. You look out West right now, the Houston Rockets, the only team I'm going to eliminate right now from the play-in contention. Everybody else is in play-in contention, if not playoff contention, and can easily talk themselves into, okay, that's the piece or this or that. So I actually think his patience is going to be rewarded here in the coming weeks, as all of these teams look and say, we are one COVID protocols away from falling out of the playoffs, out of the play-in, and ruining our season. And I think they'll be ready to strike.
It's an interesting take. I mean, this, we've been trying to figure out what kind of trade deadline is this going to be, and who's going to step up. I thought maybe the Cavaliers in the injury to Ricky Rubio was going to accelerate that, but they're going in a different direction, which we'll talk about in the next segment. I can't dispute that. I can't dispute that they won't, their patience won't pay off. My question is it going to be patience, or is it going to be stubbornness that this is going to get characterized? At some point, the story is going to be written. Ben Simmons will be traded. And at the end of it, we'll be able to say for sure, this was patience that paid off or stubbornness that cost them. And I'm leaning towards stubbornness right now. You're leaning towards patience. Sure. So, but regardless, that's the piece. And right now Philly sits in the sixth seed, still capable of making a run after everything that they've been through. So
can we talk about the best part of this game?
Yeah, sure.
The end of this game, it ends with Joel Embiid trash talking Kevin Durant. And by the way, he grabbed an offensive rebound. He puts it out. He puts a little flex on there. You could tell Kevin Durant didn't like it. He comes up and says something to him at the foul line, right? The game closes out. By that point, it was just, you know, a couple seconds left. Game closes out. Joel Embiid starts mouthing to Kevin Durant and the rest of the Brooklyn Nets, get off the court. This is in Brooklyn, by the way. And he starts the trash talk. And look, I think KD appreciates it. Like, KD's a trash talker himself. I think he appreciated it, but wanted to send the message of, like, we are going to remember this. And I'll say, a Nets 76ers rivalry brewing? You could sell me on it right now. I think there might be one brewing.
Hey, look, I think Sixers needle enough people where there's like anybody at the top, there's a rivalry. Yeah. I like KD going off the court. Like, you know, Embiid's doing that like wave off thing. And KD's like giving the clap, like big thumbs up, like, thank you. That's a nice moment. Hey, there's a little bit of fun in there. Trash talkers, two elite NBA players. If they meet in the playoffs, that will be interesting, because there's no matchup to cover Embiid on the Nets. And there's no one to really cover both and depending if Kyrie comes back, all three stars. So it's going to be an interesting, like, irresistible force kind of immovable object type of matchup.
KD, by the way, his first game back from, you know, several games off, 33 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 13 to 24 shooting, just didn't skip a beat. That time off had no impact on his performance.
you know, you think like some of these guys, honestly, they head into health and safety. They're asymptomatic. They're probably like, all right, let me get a few days off. It's probably for a guy like KD, chill out, relax.
Might be.
As long as he's not like that, doesn't have his breathing affected, then, you know, take a couple of weeks. Sure. All right. Why don't we talk about the Denver Nuggets and the Golden State Warriors to kick off the next segment? Because Draymond Green was not happy about this. So we'll save that for the top of the next segment. Let's talk about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a different way to do daily fantasy, right? If you're a fan of daily fantasy, this is not going to be you against other people. This is you against the numbers on Prize Picks. So they have the best NBA daily fantasy prop game on the market. They offer NBA props more than any other DFS prop operator. All the superstar players, bench players. If you wanted Georges Niang, you got him. If you wanted Tyrese Maxey, you got him. It doesn't matter what level you want. Joel Embiid, there are props on all of these guys. Everybody who's listening to Locked On NBA, you can use the promo code NBA to get a 100% instant match on a deposit up to $100. You pick 2 to 5 players, you pick the over-under on their projections, you can win up to 10 times any entry. Again, you versus the projected numbers, and you can mix sports. You can go from basketball to football and mix over-unders on, you know, whomever, Tom Brady and Kevin Durant, like anything. So use the award-winning app and go to the App Store or on Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Go to prizepick.com today. Use the promo code NBA or go to your App Store, download the app. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. If you're not playing Prize Picks, you do not know what you're missing. All right, Adam, let's get into this this postponed game, because this you were supposed to be watching the game, right? And that got postponed. So, okay, that happens. But Draymond Green was pissed off about this. And I think he's got a point. And look, Adam Silver even said this when he was on ESPN. He said, look, there is some unfairness baked into this because some teams are going to be forced to play with 10 guys out and you're signing all of these hardship cases and, you know, you're starting a guy who wasn't even in the league. Like Greg Monroe for the Minnesota Timberwolves shows up 4 hours before a game and it's like, hi, how you doing? I'm Greg. Oh, I'm starting or, you know, whatever.
Right.
But to Draymond's point, he's like, look, we're going to be facing these guys again. You know, are we going to be at full strength? Are they going to be at full strength? We had to face them without being at full strength. Now, do they get to face us at full strength? This affects seeding. This affects all that stuff. I think Draymond's got a point.
So I'm going to read his tweet here. He says, how do you continue to cancel games when you've implemented rules to prevent this from happening? Is that not a competitive advantage for other teams? The guys we didn't have due to the protocol list played no role in Tuesday's loss. Pick a side, but don't straddle the fence. I'm with you that he has a point, because look, here's the thing is the NBA. My first thought is the NBA has no, they're in a corner. There's no good options. We all know this is the world we live in at the moment. It's just, there are no good options. They're trying to figure out a way through this. They've made new protocols, guys getting out early, allowing this hardship exemption that lets people come up on short notice. Here's the problem. I think it's twofold. One, Denver just got the news that they had these guys entering protocols today. So they only had like a 6-hour window to, or maybe it was 10-hour window to get players to Denver to fill that role. So that was short order. Number two, and this is a weird one, I don't know how many people have seen the news that is going on in Denver right now. Maybe the largest city fire the last 50 years is happening in Denver right now. Some 700 plus homes have caught fire today. So I don't know for certain if, you know, airport delays or this or that, but I'm guessing that today of all days on short notice and this or that, trying to get replacement players into town to be able to play this one, it just didn't work out. So Draymond has a point. This definitely was probably a game that Golden State was likely to win given the circumstances. Now, who knows? But at the same time, I don't think there's anything nefarious about this. It's just unfortunate, broke poorly for the Warriors.
Right, right. No, of course. I mean, on top of that, like, you've got the weather circumstances that cause that fire, which is 60 and 70 and 80 mile an hour winds, which pretty hard to land a plane in that. Right. So, you can go knocking around on the high school and the colleges around town and say, hey, anybody, you know, in shape?
Come on over. I was available.
You know, I mean, we might be the starting front court in the podcast basketball battles here, but I don't think either of us are ready to go in the NBA hardship. So, look, yes, Draymond has a point. At the same time, you're right. What can you do about it? Nothing. And this is just the way things go. And this is the, you know, a few weeks ago on the Tuesday Locked On NBA show, I kind of went on a little bit of a rant about this is going to affect seeding, and this could impact people's jobs, you know, and
no question.
You know, if this was a game that the Warriors were going to win, they're tied with Phoenix at 27 and 7 at the top of the West. If they now fall to the second seed and it changes their draw and they lose, this is an opportunity for a championship. He's got a point.
So. You know what, though? If you look at the standings around the league, this is just how it's going to be today or this season. Like, I don't know at the end of the year we're going to look back and say one seed, that's the best team, two seed. It's just going to be circumstantial. Hey, this is what happened to that team. Hopefully the right teams are at least given an opportunity when the playoffs arrives. Like, nobody misses the play-in or playoffs or whatever that really deserved it. I actually think if you look at the standings right now, the teams that are in, maybe there's a team that's out of order or this or that. But I think generally speaking, the teams that are in the lottery, we're going to be lottery teams this year. So I think hopefully at the end of the year, this all balances out a little bit. But hey, this season, as much as any season we have seen, is just not going to be fair.
Yeah, no, it's true. Hopefully, my hope is that in January here, maybe things level out, some of the cases kind of level out, and we can get back on track. And over the course of January, February, post All-Star, we can play a more level playing field, and some of this will be a distant memory. In the meantime, two more games on the docket. Both of these ended up being blowouts. The Washington Wizards, 110-93 over the Cleveland Cavaliers. This was a big second half for the Washington Wizards, who put up a 33-21 third quarter and ran away with it. Bradley Beal coming off of – Washington had Beal, KCP, and Anthony Gill coming off of protocols, and they all made a contribution, especially Beal. 29 points, 10 assists, 6 rebounds. And I think for Beal, got to the rim a ton because – there was still no Jared Allen for Cleveland, and Mobley came off, and you were playing Kevin Love. You're just free reign at the rim, just waltz on it. And I think that's what broke it open.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And this is the first game, you know, with the absence of Ricky Rubio. And it's a shame, man. The Cavaliers are maybe the best story in the NBA this year, a team that's ahead of – I mean, you're talking about a team that looked like they were rebuilding. A lot of young players, you just wanted to give them a chance and see what you have. Instead, what you had was a team with home court advantage if the playoffs were to begin. I guess they just fell out of that 2 days ago. But there was right there as hosting a playoff series, at least had the standings were shaking out. So they were a great story, and now you lose Rubio, who in my opinion had a almost Chris Paul effect on that team, and that he kind of tied everything together for them.
Totally.
And now the Cavaliers are scrambling. It looks like they're interested in signing a Rajon Rondo, who I can see. If you told me like Rondo, Rubio, yeah, there's similarities there. It's not a one for one. I definitely think there's a lot of reasons Rubio is a better fit there at this moment in time. But at least I can see the logic in it. But to me, either way you try to look at this, it's a real big blow to the Cavs.
Totally. I mean, that's, you know, I mentioned this on the Tuesday show, and I think I have skepticism about what the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to be long-term beyond this year. Like, you're right. They're a great story this year. I wasn't sure what they're going to be next year because of Rubio, because he tied so much together.
Right.
Were they going to pay him to continue to play that role? Where were they going to go with him next year? But now you got to face that question a lot earlier than that. So it's a huge, huge issue for the Cavaliers. I guess I'm with you on the Rondo thing. I'm
not even here with me on the Rondo thing. Just for the record, I'm not with me either.
Well, I'm sitting here like, you know, covering the Celtics. I know the Celtics have Dennis Schroeder, who probably will be moved at some point. I was like, hey, this is an opportunity for Brad Stevens to say, What do you got? But Rondo's on a minimum, and the Cavs are over the cap, and they're kind of like up against the luxury tax, and it probably is easier just to do this one. And look, you do that deal now, you see how it works, and then by the trade deadline, you say nope. Then you go for a Schroeder or whoever else might be available. My favorite moment in this game is Evan Mobley going up for a reverse. As he's coming around, Kyle Kuzma, opponent, giving him a little high five on the way by. Nice move, buddy. Okay.
Yeah, I did catch that one. That is always funny. You know what? I don't mind. I know a lot of people will do the, you're on the court, you're in battle, and nobody and don't say hi. Like, I didn't mind it. As a little, he dapped him up. Like, hey, nice dunk, young.
Hey, nice move. I enjoyed that. Yeah. All right. Milwaukee Bucks. Let's wrap it up with the Milwaukee Bucks quickly. Sweeping their two-game set in Orlando, 136-118. Not much going on here. This is basically Giannis 33-12. Chris Middleton puts up 22. Drew Holiday puts up 25. Too much for the Orlando Magic, who lead the NBA with 500-plus minutes played by these hardship contracts. 500 minutes played. That's incredible how decimated they've been. They had 12 guys out coming into this game.
Completely decimated. I will say they are one of those teams where, you know, all of their players are essentially prospects. So, you know, this is one of those, maybe they get another extra look at the prospects here. I think Franz Wagner's a player. I don't know how much you've watched him. I think he's a player, man.
Yeah.
He has some surprising, like, off the dribble moves. He had a nice little corner step back in this game. Wendell Carter Jr., I thought, had a very strong game, just showing like some high level feel. And Gary Harris, the last one, I don't know if he's a part of their long-term plans, but he had 17 points in this one, 3 of 6 from the three-point line, and has quietly had a very nice December. So he's I'm curious to see if he becomes a trade piece for Orlando to even better position themselves going to the break. And also, I'm curious if he's – it's only been a month. He had a really bad, like, last year and even the first part of this year, but he's starting to come into form, and I'm curious to see if a team takes a flyer on him as a missing piece for championship contention.
Yeah, I can 100% see. I think he's going to go. I think Terrence Ross is probably going to go at some point there too. Favorite moment from this game, though, Wendell Carter dunks on Giannis. And then Cole Anthony, I forget who it was, the hugging, jumping in a circle in a celebration on the sidelines is just pure joy. Like, that's a video that should just be shared. Cleanse your palate of all the NBA grossness. Those two celebrating that dunk on the sideline.
His energy is so great. Favorite moment, though. My favorite moment, DeMarcus Cousins, who's been very good, by the way, as a backup center for them, got a tech in this game. So welcome back. Welcome back to the league, Boogie.
Yeah, Boogie techs are great. All right, let's head on into the third segment here. We're going to do power rankings, a regular Friday thing. We're going to end on a positive note per Adam Matas's request. We're going to end this year on a high note. I wholeheartedly agree. We're going to do that when we come back. First, let's talk about Built Bars, New Year's resolutions to maybe drop a couple pounds. I know I've got that New Year's resolution. That's why my camera cuts off like right about here. Christmas dinner is below camera. So I'm going to get the snacks out of the drawers. I'm going to put Built Bars in the drawers because Built Bars are lower calorie. They're low sugar, low net carbs. Basically, where you're going to get in a Built Bar, 130 to 170 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, 17 grams of protein or so. So that's great. You get back into the gym. You know, everybody's making those New Year's resolutions. You have a Built Bar when you come out of the gym. You're putting protein in your body, but you're not doing all that extra stuff that really blows out the work that you've been doing. So it's going to really help you with that New Year's resolution. And the best part is you can use the promo code LOCKED15. And you're going to get 15% off every single time. So you can get a mixed box. You can try a few flavors. You can stock up or whatever. They've got built puffs, the marshmallow thing, if you prefer that. They've got a bunch of different products. You can cruise around here. Whatever flavors you like. If you've got a nut allergy, there's no problem. If you're going to try the keto diet, no problem. These work with that too. So use that promo code LOCKED15 at built.com every single time for 15% off. All right, every Friday, you guys do the power rankings. I enjoy that. It's my favorite part of it. Might be my favorite Locked On NBA segment. So that's this time around, you had a great suggestion. Top five winners, power ranking the top winners of the 2021 calendar year.
Yeah.
And I think Adam, that the top of the list is going to be very similar for anybody thinking about this, going through your brains. I think when you go back to the beginning of 2021 to now, I think most of us are going to have the same names on there. So I think most fun here is going to be our honorable mentions. Do you want to do those first or afterwards?
Let's do them afterwards, because that's where we'll probably have the most overlap.
Yeah. All right.
So yeah, so the biggest winners going in reverse order. If I give you my number five, I don't think you have my, I think we have the same top four, but I don't think we have the same number five here. My number five biggest winner of 2021, Arturas Karnisovas in his first year with the Chicago Bulls. Let's take a look at the standings real quick, John. Oh my goodness, the Chicago Bulls are a half game out of first place in the Eastern Conference. Oh my God, one of the best records. He makes the move for Lonzo Ball. He makes the move for Vucevic. He makes the move for Caruso. He makes the move for DeMar DeRozan. All of those fantastic moves, every single one of them. That is a team that looked like it was headed nowhere. I'm always impressed when teams rebuild on the fly. And I think the Chicago Bulls have. They have a team that's good now, maybe better than we're giving them credit for right now. I don't know. But they're also set up to be flexible going forward, where I'm like, hey, that'll be interesting. Arturas, in his first full season, did it better than anybody could have expected in very short order.
I have to admit, that's a great one out of the box, because I don't have him on my list, but that's a great one. I think he could be, this could be something that gets him executive of the year.
Mm.
And especially when you come into the season and there are plenty of us, hand up. I was one of them that was like, I don't know about these Chicago moves. DeMar DeRozan. Like,
everybody was.
Yeah. And then, you know, hey, it worked out. Like, so
here's the thing, they fit together. I don't think this is like, sometimes a team will have a good 30 game stretch and it's like, hey, so-and-so is just on fire and they cut the, I think the pieces actually fit. I think they have one of the best, if not the best defensive backcourts in the NBA between Caruso and Lonzo, and the way they work together. I love it. That's a team that I didn't see. I'm with you. I didn't see it, but now that it's put together, I'm like, that was really smart.
Yeah. Nice mix of defense and offense, nice mix of ball movement and ISO, nice mix of three-point shooting and mid-range. It's like, you know, the stuff that I thought wasn't going to work together actually becomes very complementary. So, yeah, good job there.
My number four winner of 2021, Kevin Durant. Do you realize, John, that he once ruptured his Achilles?
I've heard that should have been in the news.
A lot of people don't know. If you just watched this year, you know, during 2021, you probably had no idea, since he is currently averaging 29.7 points per game, shooting 52% from the field, 38% from the three-point line. The guy honestly is playing the best basketball of his career. And I was worried. I know a lot of people were. I thought he was going to be good. I thought he was going to be a top 10, probably top five player. But you could easily make the case that he's the best player in the NBA. And the fact that he was able to bounce back that quickly, that makes him a winner for me.
I actually have him second on my on my power rankings here, because of, I took into account the end of last season when he was really making up for you know, them being shorthanded, and then turning around and going into the Olympics and really becoming the lead guy, that he just continued his same role on a team of megastars, and he just rose to that occasion and led the USA to a gold. Like, this wasn't just a rollerball. He led the USA to a hard-earned gold medal. And then he comes in and he's in the MVP conversation.
Yep.
Could be the front runner, you know, or certainly in the top three.
I think he will remain in that conversation all year, and I would not be surprised if he won. He's not the pick I would make right now, but I would not at all be surprised if he won it this year. That's how good he's been.
Yeah. He's gonna get plenty of votes. It's gonna be an interesting race. So I just had him. That all just led to, just rose to second on my list.
There you go. Number three for me. The MVP, as always on my, you mentioned this, I'm glad you pick up on it. Jokic, always in the top five in power.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter what the power
top five
is.
Chocolate bars, something that Jokic's favorite, you know, Central European chocolate bar or something.
I can't help it. I don't set it because of him. He just happens to be top five at everything, but he's top five winners of 2021.
This happens to me.
I mean, honestly though, John, like, this was the year, like, he's been rising in popular. I mean, he has been a lightning rod, you know, very polarizing in how people evaluate him. I feel like this was the year he sort of unanimously became this top five player. Everybody understands that, hey, that's actually a special dude, not just a good one, but he's a little bit different. And by the way, this is also the year he got swept in the playoffs last year by a very good Phoenix Suns team. And that kind of became the story, like the button on his season. To me, the button on his season was, He went into Portland and beat an in-his-prime Damian Lillard with a fully healthy roster, despite having Facundo Campazzo and Austin Rivers as his starting backcourt. Say that again. Facundo Campazzo, Austin Rivers, starting backcourt in a playoff series that they won against an in-his-prime Hall of Fame caliber Damian Lillard. So, to me, he had a hell of a year and continues to have a great year.
I had him fourth, but my 3-4. I knew my number one, I knew my number two, I knew my number five.
Okay.
And then 3-4 were basically tied. My 3-4 were Chris Paul and Jokic. And I just kind of felt they were basically even, only because Jokic just didn't win.
Right.
So I had to do tiebreakers. Like, I don't want to put a knock on him. I know why he didn't win, but what really makes him a winner, I think, is this season, that he came into the season and is right back in that conversation.
Right.
And the Denver defense is better with him on the floor. Like, that is to me a real nice thing to see. Give him credit for his impact on that side of the ball. So, yeah.
Well, you mentioned number two, who I think 1-2 is actually, for me, it feels pretty clear. I would argue for both of these. Number two is Chris Paul. I mean, rewind to about 18 months ago. Chris Paul has this big contract. They get rid of him in Houston as if he was the problem. Like, okay, well, let's get rid of him and try something else. It was Westbrook. I mean, how funny is it that at one point in time you traded Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook, saying that was an even deal? Then you go to Oklahoma City. So in this last, basically year and a half, goes to Oklahoma City, makes them a very respectable team despite not having that much talent, and then goes to Phoenix and takes them all the way to the NBA Finals. Now, all of a sudden, he goes from, is that contract tradable? Does anybody want to take a risk on that? To 29 teams in the NBA would trade for Chris Paul at this very moment, no matter what the cost was. He is completely, I think, his legacy was secure in terms of where does he belong, this or that. But I think this year, in many ways, has been the most important for people seeing just how good he can be on the right team.
Yeah, I think also we didn't take into account just how hurt he was when we were putting him in that conversation, right? So everybody was talking about him like he was washed, and what really was he was hurt.
Right.
And once he got healthy, then things started to snap back into place. You go, he's awesome. So, I think Chris Paul, for what he's done, bringing – and not only that, but like – the way he's impacted Devin Booker, the way he's impacted DeAndre Ayton, the way that he's gotten these guys who were kind of not – something was just a tiny smidge off, and he kind of like snaps it into place, and now they all understand what they're supposed to do. That level of professionalism, it's been huge. I mean, people ask questions about this Phoenix Suns roster, and like Chris Paul – makes it so like Phoenix is legit a title contender, and it's entirely because, not entirely, but mostly because Chris Paul is.
Yeah. And how rare is it too, by the way, as you're talking, it made me think he's 35, 36, 10 years older than everybody else on that roster. Mikal Bridges, DeAndre Ayton, Devin Booker, like all the key pieces, they're all young guys, different generation. And yet he's fit in so nicely there. You just don't see that very often with a 10-year gap, and it works out well.
That one of the hardest things for young guys in the NBA to do is take care of their bodies with their diets, and a diet, especially their habits.
Yep.
And having a guy like Chris Paul still do it at his age, and you say, okay, what is it that you've done to stay in, hey, I eat this. Kids come into this league feeling like they're invincible and they're eating cheeseburgers in the locker room and stuff like that. It's like, no, you got to get away from that. You got to put lean meats into you. You got to get this amount of sleep. You got to make sure you get your treatment. And that's how you stay healthy in season. That's how you add another contract to your career. Don't think about it in years. Think about it as you add another contract to your career.
Right. Totally. Absolutely. Should we hit a couple before we do number one? We should do a couple of honorable mentions. I'll just tell you mine.
Yeah.
My list, Steph Curry.
My number five.
This is mostly what happened this year. I mean, last year it was hard on him, missing the playoffs. That's why I had to bump him back a little bit. But the resurgence to this year be the lead, in my opinion, the leading candidate for MVP, to have his team the number one seed. And by the way, to look exactly like they looked back in 2015-16, exactly. Amazing. And it just, to me, it was so, I always thought, I've always been so high on that Warriors team and on Steph Curry in particular, but to see him do it again this year, I just feel like it was in many ways validation of like, that's right. This guy is an all-timer right here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, when you break the record, when you become the only person to hit 3,000 three-pointers in a, right. in a career, like that's, yeah, that gets you on this list. One of my honorable mentions, Trae Young, who rose into, I think,
oh man, kind of
like superstardom.
A good one.
You know, that whole series against the New York Knicks, you know, gets a signature shoe, gets like, this is definitely a year of Trae Young. And he's kind of shown, I know he's been in health and safety and all that stuff, but he's been able to show that he can adjust to the refereeing and stuff right. like that. Yeah. I think this has been a huge year for Trae Young.
That's a great one. DeMar DeRozan was another one for me. I ended up giving this to Arturis because it was all the pieces, but DeMar DeRozan is having another, like Chris Paul, one of those ones where it's like, you guys, as if it wasn't me as well, we might have all underestimated just how good DeRozan was, technically sound, and what a bucket he was, is.
I got two more, so I'm going to go a little outside the box with both of them.
Okay.
But one of my biggest winners, really could be some of the biggest winners, these G League hardship guys.
Yeah, that's a good one.
This is your chance. A couple of these guys are going to stick. Yeah. And Ime Udoka said it in, you know, Ime was one of these guys.
Right.
You know, bouncing around. And, you know, we're talking to him about signing guys and this and that stuff. And he's like, you know, look, I don't want to make light of things, but I kind of wish we had something like, you know, yeah. I had an opportunity like this when I was playing.
Right.
Because some of these guys are going to hook on. And I think, look, there's always a silver lining. I'm not trying to make light of COVID and all of that stuff. I'm not doing that, but this is what it is. And it's an opportunity for dozens and dozens and dozens of guys to make an impact. And even if they don't get signed now, they're now in front of eyeballs. They've gotten to talk to coaches. Coaches see work ethic. And now some of these guys are going to stick. This is a very important time for them.
Yeah. So that was all my honorable mentions. Those are the ones I had.
All right. I got one last one. Tell me what you think. This might be a little weird, but I'm saying Adam Silver.
Ooh.
I may not agree with any of this stuff. Why is he one of the winners?
Yeah.
Because the league is still going.
Okay.
The
league, all right.
Not through COVID. It's no, but look, this is a business.
Yeah.
And they're getting through this thing and they put on a Christmas day with superstars still on TV. They are plowing through. I'm not saying that this is a good thing or whatever. You might even say,
they have a horrible hand. Like there's no winning play on all of this, in my opinion.
Right. But I think Adam Silver, when they come out of this on the other side, it's going to be a little bit like, you know, Andy Dufresne and Shawshank Redemption's going through a 500-yard, you know, sewage pipe to come out clean on the other side.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money at stake, and look, the NBA is not losing as much as they could right now. So he in the business, capitalism is a winner here.
Okay.
And that's not a great thing.
I'll disagree with him, but that's okay. That's okay. We can disagree. We don't disagree on this guy. The number one guy, the winner of 2021. I think it's undisputed. The NBA champion and finals MVP, the man who dropped 50, John, 50 points in the decisive closeout game to win a championship, Giannis Antetokounmpo, silenced every question you had about him. And could he do it? Could he do this? Could he do that? An all-timer who put up an all-time performance when it mattered most and got his first title at the age of 27.
Yeah, and that blocked shot, that recovery on the block shot, I think that's better than the LeBron James chase down block.
Ooh,
just the reaction time. I think it's just a little bit better. Considering situation and all, I think yes. So, but even if you don't, it's still in that conversation
right there.
The fact that he can do that on the defensive end and still drop a 50 piece and, you know, erase all the, of course it's Giannis. Of course it's Giannis. And I think everybody in Giannis's orbit gets a piece.
That's so
all
true.
Of the bros, like you got Thanasis in the commercials with him.
Yeah.
Bobby Portis.
Yeah,
get some love it. Off that stuff.
Even Drew Holiday's stock row. Like, it's funny to think back about the, like, is Drew Holiday worth what they're asking of this or that? Of course he is. I mean, he was incredible on the big.
Yeah.
He's one of those players that when the games get tougher, like, his assignment doesn't change. He's going to lock him up. He's going to be great. Like, he's good at all levels. So that whole Bucks team had a huge glow up. But Giannis, if you want to use superlatives, that closeout game was one of the best closeout performances we've ever seen, especially from a first-time champion. You say first, win a championship, your first championship, what did the numbers look like when it mattered most? 50? Set, what was it, 19 of 19 from the free throw line or something like that?
Yeah, yeah, man.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah, save Budenholzer's job too. So
that's right.
You got that as a bonus. That's like right. Everybody in that Bucks team wins because Giannis is the biggest winner of 2021. All right, hey, great show. Happy to be filling in here on the Friday. My 10-day is going to be up after this. So thanks for watching, everybody. For Adam Modis at Adam_Modis, John Corrales here at John_Corrales. Thanks for watching Locked On NBA, making you your first listen. Make Locked On Bets your second listen with your boy Q and Lee Sterling. Maybe that'll help you win a few bucks. Watch the show on YouTube, everybody. Happy New Year. Enjoy the NBA. Talk to you next time.